I always say that German is like a child sickness. I think it's like the earlier you learn it, the better it is.
Welcome to One Day in Vienna. Our guests today, Gergő Fosakos.
Name, Gergő Fazekas. Geburtsland, Ungarn. Ankunft in Wien, 2013. Familienstand, verheiratet, drei Kinder. Beruf. Inhaber der Digitalagentur The Major Design.
I'm your host, Lauren Loew, and welcome to this podcast where we're going to be uncovering those memorable anecdotes about this magical city that, let's face it, we all love and hate in moments. The expats featured on this show will be enlightening us as to how they navigated becoming a local in Vienna, often with a splattering of hilarious culture clashes to boot. Hello and welcome to One Day in Vienna. I'm Lauren Loew and today I am sitting with the lovely Gergő Fosakos in Siebenbrunnen Café, which is awesome. We've just been discussing how eclectic and authentic this place is. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Lauren. How are you today?
I'm great. Gosh, no one ever asks me that. Thank you. Gergő, what brought you to Vienna? What was the reason that you decided to move from Hungary to Austria?
I left Hungary when I was 20, right after the university. I was studying in Paris a little bit. Then I also went to Germany and finally started to work in Algeria, in North Africa, for the Hungarian embassy. So I was a diplomat. Then I moved to Tallinn. So it was also very nice in Estonia. And then I moved to Holland.
All diplomatically?
Yeah, more or less. And then in Holland, I quitted my job at the ministry. In Holland, we founded our company, creative agency, which produces animation, explainer animations, beautifully with Hungarian artists mainly. And so the idea was to bring these artists to Western Europe because you don't get paid very much if you're a motion designer and an artist. So we started with the company there, but I have two kids in Hungary. So this family reason brought us to Vienna because that was the next or the closest city, which is not Hungary. But we always said that we are not so adventurous that we want to live in Hungary, although we are Hungarian with my wife. So Vienna seemed to be a good choice because we heard that for entrepreneurs, it's a good terrain because you can have plans and the context is very good for long-term strategies.
So you actually literally just moved to Vienna without a job, without any strings attached, just so that you could be closer to your two kids back in Hungary and Absolutely. Still have entrepreneurial life.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Of course, as Hungarian kids in early 90s, we came to Vienna very often, drinking a Coke and eating Milka chocolate, breathing the air of the Western freedom and things like that. It is stuck in my memory. And so it also played a role while picking Vienna. And also, I must say, culturally, it's not so different
right.
than Hungary.
Right. Language-wise, but not culturally.
Yeah, so language-wise, it's absolutely a different language. But as I was born near to the border, it was for us obvious that we learned German. And we had some friends in Austria, also in the school in the summers. I came to Austria, not in Vienna, but in Austria. So culturally, we thought it won't be a shock. But then at the end it was, because we were moving from Holland, from The Hague to Vienna. And at the end, it seemed to be a big cultural shock.
And why so? What were your cultural clashes?
So we were moving in a flat in the 20th district, Brigittenau, near to the Augarten. It was also a shock when we just entered the beautiful, beautiful garden, which plenty of flowers and everything. And then suddenly, you see a tower, but a huge tower, and it's concrete, Second World War. So it was amazing to see all the graffitis on that, but still, it's a symbol of all this history that Vienna has. And even if you go to the Augarten and you want to have a sip of coffee and to be there, then you are sitting in the shadow of these huge concrete towers, which were protecting Vienna, actually, in the Second World War.
Flaktürme sind große, massive Türme, die während des Zweiten Weltkriegs gebaut wurden, um Städte vor Angriffen durch Flugzeuge zu schützen. Das Wort FLAK ist eine Abkürzung für Flugabwehrkanone, was eine Art von großem Geschütz bedeutet, das speziell dazu entwickelt wurde, feindliche Flugzeuge abzuschießen. Diese Türme waren nicht nur bewaffnet mit FLAK-Kanonen, sondern dienten auch als Schutzbunker für die Zivilbevölkerung bei Luftangriffen. Nach dem Krieg dienen viele dieser Türme in großen Städten wie Berlin, Hamburg und Wien als Mahnmale, um die Geschichte des Krieges zu vermitteln.
So we moved in a flat and everything was very nice. It was a duplex, so you can find nice apartments in Vienna, but I must say it's not easy. Finally, our neighbor in The Hague said that, oh, you are looking for a flat in Vienna. I have a flat in Vienna. And we said,
what
the heck? So why didn't you tell it before? Yeah, it's a nice duplex. And this is how we moved in that flat in the 20s district. We arrived in the summer and you have an image about Vienna in your mind, beautiful architecture and all these sights and everything. And you arrive to Brigittenau, which is a worker district, actually. In August, it was empty, really. And people with immigration background who couldn't afford a vacation, they were staying there. So we arrived and we said, oh, this is Vienna. But we started to enjoy it. And as we were feeling very optimistic and open-minded, we just invited the neighbors. We went to the neighbors and we just knocked on the door and said that, hello, we are moving in and we are the new neighbors. Good. We thought that we are new in the building, so we can have a chat. Yeah, yeah. There, you see the corner? There's a coffee. I always go there, so if you want to drink a coffee with me, we can meet there. And I said, yeah, it's very kind of you. Thank you. I will take the opportunity and go there to see you. But we thought you can come to us to eat together, and we also invite the other neighbors, and we can have a good dinner together. Why? Warum? I couldn't understand the question. So being friendly, things like that. Being
bus? A normal thing to invite your neighbours over. I mean, I get on really well with my neighbours. We're on the top floor and we're all really close, actually.
It was the same for us.
But top floor, you know, we've got a lift only to our floor. So we are really close. They water plants and stuff. But at the beginning, when I first moved to Vienna, I didn't know any of my neighbours. And also there was this kind of hello in the hallway. But it's not like in England where you do actually really know your neighbours and you just knock on the door and pop in for a coffee or a cup of tea. Same in the Netherlands as well, actually, isn't it? It's more like a neighbourly getting to know each other.
Now that you are telling that in England is like that, I'm quite surprised because I couldn't imagine that in England I have these preconceptions that people are very bind it to their home, my castle.
It depends where you live. Like in London, you probably wouldn't know your neighbours as much as you would if you lived in a small town.
Yeah.
You definitely know your neighbours.
So probably it's the same for Vienna. I don't know, because I only know Vienna in Austria. I know that in small villages, of course, like everywhere, they know each other since the childhood, but it's a different story. And as I mentioned that my home, my castle, it was absolutely this approach from...
But did they come over?
Well, they couldn't understand, and there were four neighbors.
Okay.
It was a gay couple, actually.
Always a good one.
Yeah. Then in the other flat, we had an older lady and her boyfriend. Probably they didn't want to advertise their relation. It was about 20 years of age difference.
Scandalous.
I don't know. And the other neighbor, he was a loner.
And was it really awkward when everyone was there?
Yeah. The concept is not so well known here. So we said, okay, let's come 7:30. 7:30, they were there.
Punktlich. Yeah, no, this is a big culture clash. In London, in England, if you invite someone over for dinner, it's polite to be 20 minutes late because the host would normally be like finishing up or doing stuff. Here, if you invite people over for 7:30 for dinner, 7:30 on the dot, they're ringing the doorbell. My husband's exactly the same. And I'm like, no. We invite people over for 8 then.
Absolutely. We didn't know, but it's like that here. So they arrive at 7:30. So we were preparing some Hungarian food because Hungarian dishes are well known and
very celebrated.
Celebrated also in Austria. And they sat down. They said, wow, nice here at your place. So we served the dinner. They started to talk only about the problems of the house. We just moved in, so we couldn't really give unser Senf. Oh, wow. Oh.
Do you want to live here?
It was also an instinctive question about the relationship of the lady and the younger guy. it was a very innocent question. My wife, Petra, asked the lady, and how did you meet? And the atmosphere was frozen.
Oh, God.
Really. You can imagine that all noises off. It was like in a movie.
Oh, God.
I couldn't really remember if there was an answer because it was such a situation that you don't want to remember.
So welcome to the neighborhood.
Yeah, so they ate. As there were no more topic about the house and it was 12 o'clock, they said, thank you for the dinner. And in 2 minutes, they left the flat. And we were standing there with Petra that, what happened here, actually? Because we were serving dinner, we were listening how they chat, and then at 12 o'clock, they just...
Done.
Yeah, they disappeared. So that was quite...
Welcome to Vienna.
Yeah. And the next day, I met the lady, and she was very nice to me. She asked me if I want to drink a glass of water.
Oh.
Because it was a very hot summer day. And I said, no, thank you. I
got
already...
my own water from the tap, thank you.
And she said that, it would be nice to continue the chat. I was asking myself what kind of chat. We couldn't really have a chat before. So I was waiting for the invitation that she will tell that, okay, come over and we will also prepare some Austrian food. But not, she said, you remember I showed you already this coffee here at the corner. So if you want to chat and meet me, just come over in this cafe and we can have a coffee together. I'm always there. It's my verlängerte Wohnzimmer.
Ah.
So this expression is also well known and it's related to the coffee culture.
You're actually right. I think people do actually often feel really comfortable meeting in a coffee house rather than perhaps opening their doors and having people over. It's not such a big hosting culture. Do you have any favorite places in Vienna? Like what makes your heart race? What places do you just love about the city?
Vienna has a lot to offer. And there's a book about the 100 sites you have to see. I already have 200 in my mind because each corner you have a different atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's not like in Paris or in London that you have a quarter and it's the same style and same people and it's very well filtered. And it's thanks to the Stadt Wien that after the Second World War, I think it was always a socialist leadership on the city. And it's very mixed. They call it the Viennese Mischung or the Wiener Melange. So my favorite places are places where different generation meet, where different people meet, different classes meet, and there's
exactly
quite a lot.
Where we are probably as well, I have to say, like yeah. In Café Siebenbrunnen, you're basically describing
absolutely.
That. Like
yeah.
We are sitting and there's some old people, some young people, some people alone, some people together. It's a melting pot.
Absolutely. And this is very common in Vienna. So I'm not surprised that it's always elected for the number one capital if it's about the life quality. Because if you see other classes, other people, and you feel yourself in a mixing pot, for some it's terrible, but for most of the people it's good and they like to be with other humans. This place, I have to say, this is my new favorite.
Yeah, me too.
We are not making...
to come here more often.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have these leather stuffs and...
Yeah. And the slightly politically incorrect Indiana in the entrance, but a hot dog, Coca-Cola, lots of crazy art, Michael Jackson. The aesthetic is brilliant. It's very authentic here to say. I love it. And you actually find these kinds of places in Vienna that are successful.
Yes.
They're not trying to be something. They just are.
Yeah, absolutely. And nowadays you have coffee houses everywhere in Europe.
Right.
Which try to follow the latest trends.
Right. Thing. Very generic.
And they don't give a damn in Austria if you have the same furniture that you had in the 70s. You just keep it because why
some people might have just
away?
Left the furniture here as well, have to be honest.
Absolutely.
You know,
so they are very authentic. Don't change a winner team or yeah. Something like that. So don't change your coffee house if you opened it in the 70s, because if it were in the 70s, well,
if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So you love the coffee houses. Is there anywhere else that you love? If you could go anywhere today, where would you go?
I must say, Vienna is very green, so today it's quite rainy, so
yeah,
I wouldn't go
rainy.
There now, but all-time favorite is the garden of Schönbrunn.
Yeah.
In Schönbrunn, I must say, in the last 12 years, I haven't been in the chateau, but I visited the garden like 2,000 times.
Yeah.
And we had the opportunity to live in our second flat near to the garden.
Oh, amazing.
And when our child was a baby, we went there every day. And it's like in Vienna that every corner has a different atmosphere. It's worth to spend hours there and explore
And it is amazing. I mean, it's somewhere you can go. I also walked my kids around in the prams in loads of palace gardens when they were little. You can just go there. It's like having a backyard, which is an imperial palace.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
With a zoo, with an orangerie, yeah. With, you know, Gloriette, you know, it's approachable.
And that was the same with the beaches. So you have the old Danube and you have nice beaches there. And it's also called the Arbeiterstrand.
Strandbad, yeah.
So it was also meant for workers. And I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that I was living in many capitals. But this is where really you don't have the feeling you have to be a millionaire.
Right.
To have a good life.
Life is really good
to lead
for most people. Yeah.
If I have to tell you which places we really love. So with the family, the parks, with friends, we love the bars. Like this one, the Siebenbrunnen. We also mentioned the Quell.
Yeah.
If you need addresses and everything, you can find it in the description. They're nice places in every kind of style. So you can go out. And in the summer, you also find nice places to cool down. So it's not like it's August and everybody leaves the city. Those people who stay here, because they can afford a vacation or something, they can also find nice opportunities.
Yeah, that don't cost anything.
And, yeah.
Which absolutely. Is also incredible.
I don't have much more money than when I was studying now, but we can enjoy this city much better.
Yeah, and also people are just sitting here, I have to add. And it's during the week. No one's rushing somewhere. People are sitting, conversing. They're living.
Absolutely.
I think that's the point.
Yeah.
At all ages, at all phases of life, you can live here. Gergu, what tips or advice would you give a fresh expat in Vienna? Is there anything you wish you'd done or had been told? Golden nugget of advice.
One recommendation. I learned a lot when I was a waiter here.
Oh.
So it was when our child was born and the company we run, it wasn't really bringing so much money. So I was looking for something stable. And I went to a coffee house in the first district. And I was waitering. And being a waiter in the first district in Vienna, you learn a lot about Vienna and about the people you see there. So it was a challenging time because you have to work a lot. There are many guests. And you also learn about people and about coffees, because in Vienna you have 10, 12 different coffees, which are common coffees. So it's not like you have to go to a special coffee house to drink that, a Maria Theresia or an Einspänner, things like that. But everybody knows in a Viennese coffee, what is it? So I can recommend for people who are adventurous and want to earn some money and also work at the same time. I think there's always in a coffee, there's always a place to work and to be a waiter. It's a good way to learn about people.
It's a great tip. Gergu, do you speak German?
Yeah.
And what's your relationship like with German?
I always say that German is like a child sickness.
Oh.
I think it's like the earlier you learn it, the better it is.
Okay.
You have to pass this because it's really not fun learning. It's a challenge because it's a very strict language.
Yeah.
And once you learn it, it's not like I also speak French. And in France, you speak French and you can understand it
right.
Or more or less. But there's a German in the books where you learn it, and there's 100 another German languages around you, actually in Vienna or everywhere you go. People are very sensible to grammar. That makes a huge difference that you invest a lot of energy to learn this complicated language. Then you go out, you think that now I can speak German and I can be in touch with German people. But actually, no, because they don't understand what you're telling or you are not understanding what people are saying in Vienna or in Innsbruck.
Do you have any like favorite words, like favorite Viennese words that you've now accumulated in the 13 years that you've been here?
Oida, I don't have one. No, I don't like Oida, actually, because
we've not had Oida.
You don't have
no, one? No, we haven't had Oida so far.
No, I don't like it.
No, don't like it in the circles that I'm with.
But I have one, actually. I like this, as I was working in a coffee house, this Einspänner.
Oh.
Because it's really a nice thing. It's related to coffee house, good atmosphere. Einspänner, it sounds good.
Der Einspänner ist eine traditionelle Kaffeespezialität aus Wien. Er besteht aus einem starken Mokka, der in einem speziellen Glas serviert wird. Dieses Glas hat oft einen Henkel, damit man den heißen Kaffee gut halten kann. Was den Einspänner besonders macht, ist die dicke Schicht Schlagobers, die direkt auf den heißen Kaffee gegeben wird. Man trinkt den heißen Kaffee durch die kalte Sahne hindurch, was ein interessantes Geschmackserlebnis bietet. Erst die Süße und Kühle der Sahne, dann die Stärke und Wärme des Kaffees. Der Name Einspänner kommt übrigens von einer Art Pferdekutsche, die früher in Wien verwendet wurde und nur von einem Pferd gezogen wurde. Der Kutscher hielt mit einer Hand die Zügel und konnte mit der anderen Hand das Kaffeeglas halten, ohne sich die Finger zu verbrennen, dank des Henkels am Glas.
I really started to learn German when I was 10, I think. And then in the school, I had a special German class. So we had 15 German classes in the first year. Actually, it was everyday German. And then I learned it and it was fine. But I couldn't use it in Austria, firstly, because I couldn't understand people. I could say something, but I didn't know what was the answer. The second thing that they say when I start to speak in German, even after 13 years, they say, oh, you are from Hungary.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like, I'm really speaking German, I know, for 30 years. And when they hear me, ah, you have a lovely Hungarian accent. I'm doing an effort here, man. I'm trying to talk to you in Hochdeutsch. But I think when Hungarian people talk Hochdeutsch or anybody speaks Hochdeutsch, they know, okay, it's not a German because it speaks Hochdeutsch. So German is quite a challenge.
Gergő, thank you so much for joining us today and having a lovely coffee in the rain at Siebenbrunnen Café. Thank you.
Auf Wiederhören. Thank you for your interest. Auf Wiederhören.
You love Vienna too and want to learn German? Innis Vienna will get you there. Vienna's best language school offers a variety of courses and trainings at different levels, at different times, and at different intensities. All information about Innis Vienna and today's guests can be found in the show notes. And there we also explain all other German words, terms, and Viennese areas from this episode. Thanks for listening. Auf Wiederhören!